things about traveling. This was the Becky and I drove down to Marathon Key, which is, we wanted to get away as far south as we could and still stay in the States because we wanted to be warm, and that was important to us. We're warm weather people. You know, when we would pray to the Lord, Lord, we'll go wherever you want us to go, do whatever you want us to do, but Lord, we really like warm weather rather than cold weather, you know. So there's always that fear, isn't there, when you pray things like that the Lord will send you to, you know, Alaska. When I used to play music, there was some guys who used to see us, come to the bars to see us. And they were, all of them were really part of the original Richmond SWAT team. So they were really different kind of people. And they were talking to us one time and said, you know, Ambrose, why don't you come? We're going to go on vacation. We're going to Baffin Island. I'm going, oh, cool, an island. That sounds really nice. My geography is terrible. And so I said, well, maybe I could talk to my wife about that. I'd love to go with you guys. It'd be really interesting. Well, Baffin Island is like several, 100 miles above the Arctic Circle. So it's an island, but it was one that I wasn't going to go to, I can tell you that. But it's interesting as you travel, as you go places, we're living a new age in a sense. It's got great technology, and certain things are helpful. So I'm sure most people have used a GPS device that are helpful, right? You know, it tells you, you know, in 2 miles you'll take a right onto such and such, or now in 1 mile, and now in 500 feet, take a right. And so it gets you where you're going. And if you can look at one on the screen, and we were using one on my phone, you know, it will talk to you, but it will also will, you know, you can see like 5 miles. But if you're like me, and you know, you're those of us who are older who are from the map generations, you know, I love a map because I like to see the bigger picture. I like to see the whole thing, where it is I'm going, and how do streets relate to each other. All I knew is, you know, and it's not a difficult trip. You go 95 south, you know, pretty much. They sent me another route for a little off, but anyway, to get around Miami. But, you know, maps take you places, and it's fascinating. But it's also the GPS systems are also nerve-wracking because they really don't let you know where you are or where you're really going. They just tell you what the next turn is. And I think in some ways that says a lot about information in our culture, doesn't it? It's a bigger picture for that. But I just thought it was interesting. It made me think as I thought about this section we're going to talk about today in Psalm 119. We're going to talk about a word that's used, or two words really, that are used throughout this psalm that really helps give a picture, you might say, of the life of a believer. And it's the word path, or the word way. Both of those are used throughout this. And they're actually two different words in the Hebrew, but they're very similar in meaning. They're pretty much synonyms. You might have somebody who has written all sorts of published papers trying to debate that issue and talking about the vast differences between the two Hebrew words, but I really don't think that there is a vast difference between the two Hebrew words. I think they're very similar, and if you look at how they're used, I think it pretty much is the same. Let me pray, and then we'll get started here. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you have given us new life in Christ. That you've opened up and spoken to us in language so that we can understand, so that we can know you, what you would have us to know about yourself and about ourselves and how we're to live. Lord, Moses said what a great privilege it was for the people of Israel to have a God who gave his law. There's no other nation like that. And Father, We as your people have your word. We have your law, your statutes, your testimonies, your promises. You've spoken. Father, help us today as we think about this, to think about what that means for us and as well, living in the 21st century. We thank you for the psalmist, for his hard work in articulating this very, very deep, passionate, and yet remarkably structured psalm. Father, open up our hearts that we may see wondrous things in your law. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, we often talk about people. We speak about people, maybe even our grown children or so forth, that they are finding their way in the world. You know, we use that term a lot. What we normally mean is that they are pursuing some path, trying to find the right one, some direction, something that is theirs and maybe theirs alone to find. They're finding their way in the world. We mean when we say that, a broader thing, it's not just that they're looking for a specific career, but when we think of people finding their way, it's a broader sense, isn't it? It includes pretty much everything. It includes family, work, friendships, location, where they're going to live, their education, so forth. Finding our way in the world is about getting connected to the particular path that will determine, or that actually is, the course of our lives. But at the same time, the world doesn't understand what it means. They have a different view of what this is all about. The world, you might say, exalts people who are finding their own way. You know, it's almost trite to say, remember the famous song, "I Did It My Way." You know, and the world exalts that to a great extent, doesn't it? It particularly exalts people who have left old ways, as if automatically new ways are better. But it's not just in the Scriptures when it speaks about. It's not just about any way. It is not just about my way. It's particularly not about my way or your way. But what is God's way? Actually, when the psalmist here refers to my way, it's either referred to in a negative sense of something he needs to repent of, or at least he's trying to determine if his way is corresponding with God's way. We see in a lot of places throughout the Scripture, Psalm 86:11, I put down here, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth." That's another word that we'll see throughout here as well, walk. There's ways that are tied that when we think, there's words that when we hear them, they're tied to this aspect of a way or a path. Walking is certainly one of them. But straying, going off, those sorts of things. There are good ways and bad ways, right? Psalm 86:11 tells us about a good way. There's one, Proverbs 16:25, though, gives us another thing. It says this, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." That's Proverbs 16:25. I don't know how many people you know that are living in rebellion against God. And what I mean by that is often people who have at one time professed the name of Christ and now are living lives in direct rebellion against that. And I know a number of people like this. And what strikes me about them is that they think they're on a good way. And I've heard the phrase often from some of these people that say, "I feel closer to God than I've ever felt before." And it's amazing because they're walking in direct opposition. And I don't mean in some vague way. I don't mean in something that maybe I'm being a little bit particular about, you know, or something. You know, they don't have the same, you know, view of some particular thing. But it's a broader, bigger thing that pretty much anybody who is a follower of Christ and who has ever been in the history of the church would say, this is sin. It's remarkable. But there is a way that seems right to a man. But its end is the way of death. You remember from our first conversation a couple of weeks ago when we started talking about Psalm 119. Maybe you remember, maybe you don't. I remember most of what I said, I think. One of the things that's difficult for us as we think about this, and Fred's lesson 2 weeks ago about the different words that are used here to refer to God's Word and the different aspects of it. We talk about, throughout this psalm, His ways, His statutes, His testimonies, His promises, His precepts, His commandments. And they're all ways, you see, these are all that God has revealed to us, has spoken to us, to tell us what is the way to walk. How are we to walk? But they're not rules just written to be rules. They're not just, God is just not up there thinking, I wonder if it would be a really good thing to keep them, you know, shackled up, so to speak. But I think if we try to understand more and more as God's people, that God has set out a way for us to live because we are His people. I think I mentioned to you before, I remember years ago Howard Griffith mentioning to someone who was unrepentant in sin and saying to that person, this is not who you are. If we are children of the living God, who are we? Are people who are to walk in His way. And so whenever we disobey God, whenever we walk in a way that's not according to His way, then there's certainly no way in the world that we can expect blessing, because we're only encouraged to expect God's blessing as we live in accordance with His way and in His way. That's what we read about in the Proverbs. It's not always, we always want to make a one-to-one correspondence, but there are certainly are truths, right, in the way these things work. We walk in a certain way, and as we walk in those ways, God blesses us. Why? Because this is who we are. We're His children. If you remember, I quoted from Jeremiah 15, where He says, your words were found in you, and I ate them, for your word to me was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, doesn't that sound remarkable? How in the world that Jeremiah could say that? Your word to me was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He says, I found them and I ate them. He absorbed them. It's a very powerful image. But then he says, why? Because you think about that. Okay, well, but I'm intimidated by that because I don't feel that way often about God's word. And we have that same problem, I think, often in Psalm 119. Your words were found and I ate them, for your word to me was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And he says this, for I am called by your name. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So that's why we delight in God's law and His commandments, in the statutes, in His testimonies, and in His promises. Why? Because we're His. And if we want to, in a sense, live in the way that we were created, we're created in His image to live a certain way. And so the reality is, there's no way that we can really live in joy and happiness if we continue in rebellion against God's law. Unless we walk in His way. Why? Because it's who we are. It's what we're created to be in God's image. An image of knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And although we've fallen as we've been redeemed and born again, you know, God is renewing our hearts and our minds to be like Christ. And so we see this aspect. Now I want to look at this, and then I'm going to look at several passages, several verses, and go through this and see how prevalent this is, this idea of way and path. It starts at the very beginning, doesn't it, in Psalm, the very first verse. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, so a person's way, remember I said often when the psalmist referred to his own way, it was normally not necessarily in a good way or a man's way. But here it talks about a man who is blessed because his way His way is blessed. Why? Because he walks in the law of the Lord. In other words, his way is following God's way. His way is consistent, going along with God's way. Who also do no wrong, verse 3 says, but walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. You know, this, if you ever want, one of my favorite shows is NCIS. It's good to see it's still the most popular show on television because it's a good. I think it's a good show. And one of the things you see on there periodically is Gibbs's rules. Gibbs has got a series of rules, and DeNozzo is one of his, you know, people who work with him. Well, that's Rule 46. That's Rule 16. They have these rules. I don't know where there they are. They're Gibbs's rules, and so Gibbs lives. Gibbs is a man who lives by his rules. And there are all sorts of them. But here we see that a person who follows, you know, a person who wants to walk with the Lord follows his rules. Verse 5 says, oh, that my ways may be steadfast. Okay, again, how can my ways be steadfast? How? In keeping your statutes. See, there's always that correspondence. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's right, verse 9. By guarding it according to your word. So this is how we walk in God's way. In verse 10, right after that, he says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. See, wandering. We see that's a verb. That's a word we'll also see in a number of ways. Why? Well, what does wandering mean? Wandering from your commandments means you got off the path. You know? So you better find a good way to get back to it. I don't know how many of you have read, you know, every year, I guess, you know, in our culture, there's fewer and fewer people have read Pilgrim's Progress. But it's a wonderful picture, isn't it, of the Christian walking the path. Because there's times, aren't there, in Christian's journey, right, where he goes off. He gets off the path. You know, we tend to think that people who like to explore, they're the ones that get off the beaten path, right? Well, okay, but in a Christian walk, you can get in a lot of trouble getting off the beaten path. There's a reason that it's beaten often. And so, you know, to follow, but whenever we see Christian getting off the path, we got a better way. Here's another way to get to the same place, right? And he gets himself into trouble. He stops, in a sense, following the rules. All these right there are in the first two sections. But he also talks about it. He says in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. He says, make me understand the way of your precepts. Now, in a number of places, for example, in a number of verses he talks about, it's the way of your precepts. It's the way of faithfulness in another place. It's the way of your statutes in another. It's the way, it's the path of your commandments. You see, so the way is defined. And this is what's so gracious about God in doing this for us, is he's clearly, in so many ways, delineated where his path is and what it means to not walk on his path and what it means to stray or struggle or get off of that path. There's another way of viewing the path. Listen to this one, verse 54. I love this verse. Anyway, as your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. But think about that. What does sojourning suggest? Yeah, it could be a journey, right? A journey. But it's also a journey. It's a journey, sojourning. I often think, too, of you know, the whole thing of the stranger in a strange land. You know, you're journeying somewhere where the strangers and sojourners, if you look at particularly in the Old Testament, it talks about these people who were wandering and how they're to be. How the Jews were to be hospitable to these people who were sojourning in the land because they saw themselves as well. It's the aspect of being strangers in a strange land. And so as we're walking God's way, it certainly is something that is not necessarily the world's way. We're wandering often, sojourning in strange places. The ways of those around us and those who live around us are not God's ways. although people will talk to us and be friendly up to a point, as we walk, in a sense, seek to walk God's path. You know, it's an interesting, interesting irony in our culture. There's so many of them, inconsistencies. Remember I said that our culture seems to give accolades to those who walk their own way, who do their own thing. But is that really true? No, the world's got its own way that it wants us to conform. And if we stop walking, if we are not walking in that way, then we'll get slapped down hard. We hear about it, right? We hear Dan Iverson talk about it in Japan, right? Where the nail that's standing up, you got to hammer down the nail that's standing up, right? And you've got to conform. But most cultures will do this. Although we act like we're people who like nonconformists, we only like nonconformists to certain things. And so in a great way, in the society we live in, but not necessarily any different than most other societies, the society itself has a way. It's got a path that it expects you to walk. And when you walk according to God's statutes and His path and His way, the world often is not going to like that. It's going to make it difficult. And one of the things that we'll see in this psalm that you need to look at